إذاعة البيان تقدم لكم هذا البرنامج، سائلين الله عز وجل أن ينفعنا به.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمة الله عليه: إن تعلق العبد بما سوى الله تعالى مضرة عليه إذا أخذ منه فوق القدر الزائد على حاجته غير مستعين به على طاعته. إذن كأنه يقول الأصل في العبد أن يكون تعلقه بالله عز وجل لا بشيء آخر، وأنه بالنسبة لما يحتاج إليه ينبغي عليه أن يأخذ القدر الذي يحتاجه. إذا أخذ فوق القدر الذي يحتاجه أو إذا استعان بما أعطي على غير طاعة الله عز وجل فإن ذلك يصبح مضرة له. فإذا نال من الطعام والشراب والنكاح واللباس فوق حاجته ضره ذلك، ولو أحب سوى الله ما أحب فلا بد أن يسلبه ويفارقه. وهذه حقيقة، يعني كما جاء في الحديث لما جاء جبريل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال له: أحبب من شئت فإنك مفارقه. الإنسان لا يستطيع أن يغيب هذه الحقيقة عن عقله وعن قلبه، ففي النهاية يعلم كل إنسان أنه سيفارق ما يحب، سواء من الناس أو سواء من الجمادات. فإن أحب الإنسان شيئا لغير الله فلا بد أن تضره محبته ويعذب بمحبوبه، إما في الدنيا وإما في الآخرة، والغالب أنه يعذب به في الدارين. قال تعالى: والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة ولا ينفقونها في سبيل الله فبشرهم بعذاب أليم يوم يحمى عليها في نار جهنم فتكوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم وظهورهم هذا ما كنزتم لأنفسكم فذوقوا ما كنتم تكنزون. وقال تعالى: فلا تعجبك أموالهم ولا أولادهم إنما يريد الله ليعذبهم بها في الحياة الدنيا وتزهق أنفسهم وهم كافرون. الإمام ابن القيم يقول في الرد على من تأول الآية، فيقول: لم يصب من قال إن الآية على التقديم والتأخير كالجرجاني، حيث قال: ينتظم قوله في الحياة الدنيا بعد فصل آخر ليس بموضعه على تأويل: فلا تعجبك أموالهم ولا أولادهم في الحياة الدنيا إنما يريد الله ليعذبهم بها في الآخرة. وهذا القول يروى عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما وهو منقطع، واختاره قتادة وجماعة، يعني عندهم أن في الآية حصل فيها يعني تأخير، فلا تعجبك الآية فلا تعجبك أموالهم ولا أولادهم إنما يريد الله ليعذبهم بها في الحياة الدنيا وتزهق أنفسهم وهم كافرون. فهم قالوا في الآية يعني في الآية تقديم وتأخير، يعني على ما فهموا قالوا معنى الآية: فلا تعجبك أموالهم ولا أولادهم في الحياة الدنيا. قال الإمام ابن القيم: وكأنهم لما أشكل عليهم وجه تعذيبهم بالأموال والأولاد في الدنيا وأن سرورهم ولذتهم ونعيمهم بذلك فروا إلى التقديم والتأخير. يعني كأنه يقول هؤلاء أشكل عليهم أن يكون هؤلاء عذبوا بأموالهم وأولادهم، أشكل عليهم، قالوا هذه الأموال والأولاد هي مصدر النعيم لا مصدر العذاب والشقاء، فأشكل عليهم هذا الأمر فقالوا في الآية تقديم وتأخير. قال: وأما الذين رأوا أن الآية على وجهها ونظمها، يعني معنى أنه ما في تقديم ولا تأخير، فاختلفوا في هذا التعذيب. فقال الحسن البصري: يعذبهم بأخذ الزكاة منها والإنفاق في الجهاد. واختاره ابن جرير وأوضحه فقال: العذاب بها إلزامهم بما أوجب الله عليهم فيها من حقوقه وفرائضه، إذ كان يؤخذ منه ذلك وهو غير طيب النفس ولا راج من الله جزاء ولا من الآخذ منه حمدا ولا شكرا بل على صغار منه وكره. فابن جرير رحمة الله عليه قال إن هذه هؤلاء لما أخذت منهم حقوق الأموال غصبا، ما غصبا يعني أخذت منهم وهم لم تطب أنفسهم بذلك ولا رجوا ثواب هذا الإعطاء من الله، فكأنهم عذبوا من هذه الناحية. قال الإمام ابن القيم: وهذا أيضا عدول عن المراد بتعذيبهم في الدنيا بها وذهاب عن مقصود الآية. وقال الطائفة: تعذيبهم بها أنهم يتعرضون بكفرهم لغنيمة أموالهم وسبي أولادهم، فإن هذا حكم الكافر وهم في الباطن كذلك، وهذا أيضا من جنس ما قبله، أي عدول عن المعنى الظاهر للآية، فإن الله سبحانه أقر المنافقين وعظم أموالهم وأولادهم بالإسلام الظاهر وتولى سرائرهم، فلو كان المراد ما ذكره هؤلاء لوقع مراده سبحانه من غنيمة أموالهم وسبي أولادهم. فإن الإرادة هنا كونية بمعنى المشيئة، وما شاء الله كان ولا بد، وما لم يشأ لم يكن. يعني أخبر الله أنه سيعذبهم بها في الحياة الدنيا، فلا بد من وقوع ذلك، وهؤلاء المنافقون لم يحصل لهم ذلك لأن الإسلام عصم أموالهم وأولادهم. أخيرا يقول الصواب والله أعلم أن يقال: تعذيبهم بها هو الأمر المشاهد من تعذيب طلاب الدنيا ومحبيها ومؤثريها على الآخرة بالحرص على تحصيلها والتعب العظيم في جمعها ومقاساة أنواع المشاق في ذلك، فلا تجد أتعب ممن الدنيا أكبر همه وهو حريص بجهده على تحصيلها، والعذاب هنا هو الألم والمشقة والنصب، كقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: السفر قطعة من العذاب، وكقوله: إن الميت ليعذب ببكاء أهله عليه، أي يتألم ويتوجع، لا أنه يعاقب بأعمالهم. وهكذا من الدنيا كل همه أو أكبر همه، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الذي رواه الترمذي وغيره من حديث أنس رضي الله عنه: من كانت الآخرة همه جعل الله غناه في قلبه وجمع له شمله وأتته الدنيا وهي راغمة، ومن كانت الدنيا همه جعل الله فقره بين عينيه وفرق عليه شمله ولم يأته من الدنيا إلا ما قدر له. إذن من أبلغ من أبلغ العذاب في الدنيا تشتيت الشمل وتفريق القلب. يعني أيها الناس، إذا نظرتم إلى بعض الأسر ترى هذه الأسر معذبة عذاب شديد جداً، ترى أن شملها مشتت، كل واحد في واد، وترى أن رب الأسرة يؤلمه ذلك كثيرا، حيث يرى أن أبناءه متفرقون، مشتتون، لا يجتمعون على خير، لا يجتمعون على شيء، فيسوءه ذلك ويتألم له كثيرا. إذن من أبلغ العذاب في الدنيا تشتيت الشمل وتفريق القلب وكون الفقر نصب عيني العبد لا يفارقه. ولولا سكرة عشاق الدنيا بحبها لاستغاثوا من هذا العذاب، على أن أكثرهم لا يزال يشكو ويصرخ منه. إذن كل هذه الأمور التي ذكرها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هي نوع من الألم والعذاب. من كانت الدنيا همه فرق الله عليه شمله وجعل فقره بين عينيه، وجعل فقره بين عينيه، ولم يأته من الدنيا إلا ما قدر له. كون الإنسان يصور له الفقر بين عينيه وهو محب للغنى، لكن مهما حصل من الدنيا هو يرى نفسه فقير، فهو يسعى يعني بغاية ما أوتي من قوة إلى أن يحصل الغنى ولن يحصله، فيموت بحسرة ذلك ويتعب فكره وجسده ولن يصل إلى مقصوده، فهذا من أشد أنواع العذاب، نعوذ بالله من ذلك.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. All praise due to Allah, may Allah send His peace and blessings upon His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that when a servant is attached to anything other than Allah, it will be a harm for him. If he takes from that which is other than Allah more than his need for it, and when he takes that thing other than Allah in other than that which will aid him to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he takes food and drink and sexual intimacy and clothing more than what he needs, it will be a harm for him. If he has a love for these things in his heart more than what he needs. And even if he loves whatever he may love, because whatever you may love, you will be taken away from it, and you will part from it. As is mentioned in the narration that Jibreel alayhi salam, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, love whoever you want, for verily, or live for as long as you want, for eventually you will die. And love whoever you want, for soon you will part from that person. So this is the reality of the creation. And so when a person takes more of the creation into his heart than what is required, that will be actually a cause of distress and pain for him. And whoever loves for other than the sake of Allah, it will that love of that thing will surely be a cause of harm and pain for him. He will actually feel pain from the thing that he loves in this world. And as for the hereafter, in most cases, he will be punished for that as well in this world and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about those who have a love for wealth and that love makes them, they prefer the love of the wealth over the love of Allah, so they do not spend it in the way of Allah in giving the zakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O you have believed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and those who hoard gold and silver and spend it not in the way of Allah, then give them tidings of a painful punishment. The day when it is heated in the fire of hell and seared therewith with their foreheads and their flanks and their backs. And it will be said, this is what you hoarded for yourselves, so taste what you used to hoard. That's in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah number 34 and 35. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also mentions, so let not their wealth or their children impress you. Allah only intends to punish them through them in the worldly life, and that their souls should part at death while they are disbelievers. So as we can see, that those whose heart attached to other than Allah, for example, their heart attached to gold and silver more than what is required, and do not spend it in the way of Allah, then they will be punished with it in the hereafter. And Allah Ta'ala, he says as well about the people who love their wealth and their children, that it will be a cause of punishment for them in the life of this world, and that they will die as disbelievers as well. So in regards to this verse, the scholars differed in the understanding of this verse, and some of them understood from this verse that it means that do not be impressed by the wealth and the children of the disbelievers. Allah only intends to punish them. But when it says in the life of this world, it means do not be impressed with them in the life of this world. So they say that there has been, like the life of this world means in regards to do not be impressed with them in the life of this world. Not that they will be punished in the life of this world. And this is because of a limited understanding, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah argues, and he challenges the understanding and the interpretation of some of the previous scholars. So some of the scholars, like al-Jurjani, he says that they do not be impressed with them in the life of this world. So the life of this world refers to, you know, the time of being impressed, not that they'll be punished in the life of this world. Why? Because many of the people don't see that having wealth and children is a punishment. They see that it is actually a cause of bliss and joy and enjoyment. But Ibn al-Qayyim, as we'll see, argues that no, they'll be punished with their love of their wealth and their children because it was not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he mentions that this opinion is narrated from Ibn Abbas, but with a discontinued chain of narration. And it is the opinion of Qatada and a group of other mufassirs. Because as we mentioned, that they assumed that how can a person be punished by their wealth and children in the worldly life? Because wealth and children are a cause of happiness and joy and bliss, not punishment. So this is why they chose to interpret it as a disjointed interpretation. But some, as well, they interpreted the verse in its correct order, and they didn't like say that it refers to the punishment. The life of this world refers to they're being impressed by them, but they as well had an incorrect interpretation in this. For example, Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said that they are punished with their wealth and children, meaning that the zakat is taken from their wealth and they are forced to spend in the cause of Allah. So this will be a punishment for them. And this was the opinion preferred by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, and he further elaborated on this, is that it will be a punishment for them because they are forced by the commands of Allah to give the rights of spending and charity, and he pays it, reluctantly, and he doesn't do it for the sake of Allah and hoping in the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as well, he doesn't receive any appreciation or thanks from those that benefit from his wealth, but rather he pays it and he is humiliated and he is, you know, coerced. But Ibn al-Qayyim argues that even this interpretation is not accurate in interpreting how they will be punished by their wealth and children in the worldly life. And this is not the point of the ayah. As well, another group of scholars, they said, they will be punished by it because they risk losing their wealth to being that their wealth is taken in booty of war because they are disbelievers. So in war, their wealth can be exposed to being taken for booty, and their children can be taken as captives because they are disbelievers. Even though they are disbelievers, yani secretly. But this is also not accurate because the hypocrites, for example, they are not war is not declared against them, and their wealth and their children are protected because of their obvious adoption of Islam, and their secrets are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the meaning of it was that their wealth and their children would be exposed to loss, then that would not be the case, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah wishes to punish them. And here that Allah wishes to punish them means that Allah has decreed to punish them, because whatever Allah wishes will be, and whatever Allah wishes will not be. Whatever Allah does not wish will not be. So that this is something that is decreed, that will actually happen, that they will actually be punished. And Ibn al-Qayyim then says what is, in his opinion, and Allah knows best, is the correct interpretation of this verse, is that they will be punished in the world, in this worldly life, with their wealth and their children. So don't be impressed by their wealth and children. Their wealth and children are a cause of punishment for them. And this is something that is noticed with those who are worldly people, and those who love their wealth, and those who prefer their wealth over the hereafter and give precedence to their wealth over the hereafter, and who are so concerned with amassing wealth, and they go through a lot of tire and a lot of effort and they suffer a lot of hardships to get wealth. And you will never find someone who's more exhausted than someone who seeks the worldly life and makes it his main concern. And he is so concerned and works so hard and exhausts himself to amass as much of the world as he can. So the punishment here means pain and exhaustion and tiredness. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that travel is a portion of torture, meaning that it is hardship and pain. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the dead person is punished because of the crying of his family over him. What it means of that he is pained and he is affected, not that he is actually held accountable or punished because of their deeds. So likewise, the worldly life, whoever has the worldly life as his greatest concern, he is, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith narrated by Tirmidhi, as reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, whoever the worldly life is his main concern, whoever the hereafter is his main concern, Allah will make his richness in his heart, and who will bring together his affairs, who will bring together his family, and the world will come to him while, yani at force. The world will come to him by force. And whoever the worldly life is his greatest concern, Allah will make poverty before his eyes, and he will make his affairs in disarray, and he will make his family in disarray, and he will not receive of the worldly life other than what had been decreed for him. And so of the most devastating punishments of the worldly life is for a person's family to be in disarray and disheveled, and their hearts turn against each other. And as well, and this is subhanAllah, you may witness that and see that. Someone may have a lot of wealth, but their family is in disarray Because the most greatest pleasure that a person feels in this world, when he sees that his family are all united and have love and concern for one another, and that they are, their hearts are together. And so, so the one whose concern is the worldly life, Allah punishes him by making the hearts of his family turn against each other, and as well that he makes poverty before his eyes, so he's always worried about poverty, and it never escapes him the thought of becoming poor. And if it wasn't for the intoxication of the worldly life, because of their love of the worldly life intoxicates them, then they would be screaming out because of the pain of the world. And in spite of that, you find many people complaining about the worldly life.
ثم الإمام ابن القيم يؤكد هذه الحقيقة وأن صاحب الدنيا يعذب ويذكر الأدلة على ذلك. ذكر حديثا لكن هذا الحديث ضعيف، لكن نذكره لما اشتمل على معنى جميل، لما اشتمل عليه من المعنى الطيب. ذكر الإمام الترمذي عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: ابن آدم تفرغ لعبادتي، أملأ صدرك غنى وأسد فقرك، وإلا تفعل ملأت يديك شغلا ولم أسد فقرك. وهذا أيضا من أنواع العذاب، وهو اشتغال القلب والبدن بتحمل أنكاد الدنيا ومحاربة أهلها إياه ومقاساة معاداتهم. كما قال بعض السلف: من أحب الدنيا فليوطن نفسه على تحمل المصائب. سبحان الله. لما سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، سأله أحد الصحابة يعني: دلني على شيء إذا عملته أحبني الله وأحبني الناس. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يتعلق بالشق الآخر: وازهد فيما أيدي الناس يحبك الناس، يعني ازهد في الدنيا يعني يحبك الله، وازهد في ما عند الناس يحبك الناس. يعني إذا أنت نافست أهل الدنيا على دنياهم أبغضوك وكرهوك، أما إذا زهدت فيما في أيديهم عندئذ يحبوك ويجلوك. محب الدنيا لا ينفك من ثلاث: هم لازم وتعب دائم وحسرة لا تنقضي، وذلك أن محبها لا ينال منها شيئا إلا طمحت نفسه إلى ما فوقه، كما في الحديث الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لو كان لابن آدم واديان من مال لابتغى لهما ثالثا. سبحان الله. يعني مهما كان عند الإنسان من مال، يعني تصور واديان يعني من ذهب، ماذا سيفعل الإنسان بواديين من ذهب؟ لكن لو كان له واديان من ذهب لابتغى لهما ثالثة. معنى ذلك أن الإنسان ولو كان من أغنى الأغنياء سيعمل على أن يكون له مال أكثر، سيتعب نفسه. إذن هذا المال لم يجلب له الراحة. مثل عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام محب الدنيا بشارب الخمر: كلما ازداد شربا ازداد عطشا.
ابن القيم رحمه الله further explains this point and brings a narration, even though the narration there is some weakness in regards to its narration, but the meaning is correct and it confirms what we have been speaking about. The narration attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, as narrated by Tirmidhi from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ has said that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, O son of Adam, free yourself for my worship and I will fill your heart with richness. And I will I will suffice your poverty. يعني I will يعني protect you from poverty. And if you do not do that, if you do not turn to my worship, then I will fill your hands with preoccupation, and I will not suffice your poverty. So this is also a type of punishment, that a person's heart is continuously occupied, and his body is completely is continuously burdened with burdens and difficulty and tiredness and competing with people to get the dunya. And fighting with people and having enmity with people because of, you know, competition over worldly life. As many of the Salaf, they said, whoever loves the dunya, whoever loves the worldly life, then let him prepare himself to carry many difficulties. Because the one who loves the worldly life, he is never free from three things: from constant worry, and from continuous exhaustion, and from grief that is never ending. And that is because the one who loves the worldly life does not achieve anything from it, except his soul desires more. As is narrated in the authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, if the son of Adam had two valleys full of wealth, he would seek a third. And it was given as a parable by Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, that the lover of the world is like someone who's drinking from the ocean. The more he drinks, the more he gets thirsty.
يزيدنا الإمام ابن القيم أيضا أن الدنيا يعذب طالبها. يزيدنا بعض يعني بعض الأدلة وبعض الأقوال من العلماء التي تؤكد على هذه المعاني. ذكر ابن أبي الدنيا أن الحسن البصري كتب إلى عمر بن عبد العزيز: أما بعد، فإن الدنيا دار ضعن ليست بدار إقامة، إنما أنزل إليها آدم عليه السلام عقوبة، فاحذرها يا أمير المؤمنين، فإن الزاد منها تركها، والغنى فيها فقرها، لها في كل حين قتيل، تذل من أعزها، تذل من أعزها، وتفقر من جمعها. هي كالسم يأكله من لا يعرفه وهو حتفه، فكن فيها كالمداوي جراحه يحتمي قليلا مخافة ما يكره طويلا، ويصبر على شدة الدواء مخافة طول البلاء، فاحذر هذه الدار الغرارة الخداعة الخيالة التي قد تزينت بخداعها وفتنت بغرورها وختلت بآمالها وتشوفت لخطابها فأصبحت كالعروس المجلوة، فالعيون إليها ناظرة. وهذه حقيقة الدنيا لها، زينت للناس، فالعيون إليها ناظرة والقلوب عليها والها، أي شديدة يعني الطلب، والنفوس لها عاشقة، وهي لأزواجها كلهم قاتلة، فعاشق لها قد ظفر منها بحاجته، فاغتر وطغى ونسى المعاد، فشغل بها لبه حتى زلت عنها قدمه، فعظمت عليها ندامته وكثرت حسرته، واجتمعت عليه سكرات الموت وألمه وحسرات الفوت. سبحان الله، يعني حتى من ينال الدنيا يحصل له هذه الأمور، كما ذكر الإمام الحسن البصري، أنه إن حصل منها ما طلب، يعني اغتر وطغى ونسى المعاد فشغل بها لبه حتى زلت عنها قدمه، لابد ليوم أن تزل قدمه عن الدنيا مهما كان غنيا، فعظمت عليها ندامته، كيف يترك هذه الأموال وهذه الدنيا بعد أن تعب دهرا طويلا في جمعها، وكثرت حسرته واجتمعت عليه سكرات الموت وألمه وحسرات الفوت. سبحان الله، هذه لابد أن تحصل، يعني يعني يكفي أن من حصل الدنيا لابد أن يتحسر على هذه الأموال وهذه يعني الزينة وهذه الأراضي التي جمعها. وعاشق لم ينل منها بغيته، فعاش بغصته وذهب بكمده، ولم يدرك منها ما طلب، ولم تسترح نفسه من التعب، فخرج بغير زاد وقدم على غير مهاد. أيضا من طلبها لكن لم ينل بغيته أيضا عذب بها، يعني عذب بها حيث أنه يعني ذهب بكمده وحسرته أنه لم ينل ما طلب من الدنيا. يعني سبحان الله، لو طلب الله والآخرة لم يحصل له ذلك. فإذا خرج بغير زاد وقدم على غير مهاد، فكن أسر ما تكون فيها أحذر ما تكون لها، فإن صاحب الدنيا كلما اطمأن منها إلى سرور أشخصته إلى مكروه، وصل الرخاء منها بالبلاء، وجعل البقاء فيها إلى فناء، سرورها مشوب بالحزن، أمانيها كاذبة وآمالها باطلة وصفوها كدر وعيشها نكد، فلو كان ربنا لم يخبر عنها خبرا ولم يضرب لها مثلا لكانت قد أيقظت النائم ونبهت الغافل، فكيف وقد جاء من الله فيها واعظ وعنها زاجر، فما لها عند الله قدر ولا قدر ولا وزن ولا نظر إليها منذ خلقها، ولقد عرضت على نبينا بمفاتيحها وخزائنها، لا ينقصها عند الله جناح بعوضة، فأبى أن يقبلها، كره أن يحب ما أبغض خالقه أو يرفع ما وضع مليكه، فزواها عن الصالحين اختيارا وبسطها لأعدائه اغترارا، فيظن المغرور بها المقتدر عليها أنه أكرم بها، ونسي ما صنع الله عز وجل برسوله حين شد الحجر على بطنه. هذا، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
ابن القيم رحمه الله he mentions about يعني he mentioned a quote from Al-Hasan al-Basri about the reality of the worldly life. And Al-Hasan al-Basri wrote this in a letter to Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, and he said in opening the letter after the introduction as to what follows, the world is a place of travel. It isn't a place of settlement. And Adam was descended to the world as a punishment. So beware of it, O leader of the faithful, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. Then Al-Hasan al-Basri continues. To amass the world means to leave it. The best thing that you can get from the world is to actually leave it. And to be rich in this world means to be poor of it. Because in this world, every moment there is someone who is dying. And it debases the one who seeks honor in it. And it causes poverty to the one who gathers it, like poison for the one who eats it and he doesn't know he doesn't know that there's poison in it. Like someone who eats something that has poison and he doesn't know that it is actually the cause of his death. So be in this world like someone who is mending his wound. He is very careful and puts what is necessary to mend his wound. And like someone, as they're mending the wound, they do it quickly and take a little as necessary so that he is not in a state of distress for very long. And he is patient over the difficulty of the medicine and the bitterness of the medicine. So that he is patient over the bitterness of the medicine because he fears that his sickness will be prolonged. So beware of this world that is deceptive and is that it is a world of trickery. This world that adorns herself and deceives and tricks many people by her deception. Many people have these dreams in the hope of the world. And many people, this world is like a woman that many people want to get married to. So she becomes like a bride that is beautified to every person who looks, and all the eyes are looking at her, and all the hearts are seeking her, and all the souls are loving towards her. But she is to all of her spouses a killer. The one who loves her, the world, the one who loves her. And who achieves her, then he becomes deceived and he becomes tyrannical and he starts to forget his return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the world becomes the preoccupation of his mind, and until she causes him to slip, or the world causes him to slip, meaning he will leave this world, and so he will be very regretful. And he will be very, very much in grief until when he leaves this world, all the calamities before him, the pangs of death and the pains of death, as well as the grief of losing the world, because it has so much value in his heart. The pain of death will be even greater because he sees how much he is losing. Because the one who loves this world will never reach his goal, will never be satisfied. He will always be like, it will never satisfy him. And it will always be like stuck in his throat. And it will never satisfy him. And he will never achieve what he seeks of it. And his soul will never be at peace from working hard in this worldly life. And so he leaves this worldly life he leaves this worldly life without having achieved anything, without any food. And he comes to the hereafter without having prepared any bed. And the most pleasing thing in the worldly life should be the thing that he is most wary of. Because the person of the dunya, the more he becomes relaxed with it and seeks joy in it, then actually it comes to him with hateful things. And the peace in it is pain. And staying in the dunya leads to death, and the happiness of the dunya is mixed with grief, and the safety of the dunya is a lie, and its hopes are false, and its peace is tumultuous, and its living is hardship. If the Lord of the world did not tell us about its reality and did not give us parables of what the world is really like, then it would, the world itself should wake us up to its reality and should make aware the one who is heedless. Then how about after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already informed us and warned us about the world? It doesn't have any value or any weight with Allah. And Allah didn't look at the world after He created it. It was offered to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all of its keys and all of its treasures. And Allah would not... But because it doesn't weigh to Allah and is not valued to Allah even to the wing of a mosquito, the Prophet ﷺ refused to accept it because he hated to love something that Allah hated, and he hated to raise something that Allah disgraced. And this is why the righteous deflected the world out of choice, and this is why the enemies of Allah, yani the world is opened up to them as a deception. And so the deceived person, the one who is deceived in the world, thinks, and the one who thinks that he has power over the world, thinks that he is being honored by Allah by receiving the world. And he forgets what Allah done to his messengers. When he forgets what Allah did to his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he tied the stone to his stomach. We'll end here, inshallah.
قدم لكم هذا البرنامج من إذاعة البيان من سيدني صوت أهل السنة والجماعة.